Tonight, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 10. Mark, chapter number 10, we'll be reading in verse number 32 down through verse 34. And we'll be looking at this verse, especially one word, and then we'll refer us back to another passage in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs. And so we'll try to bring these things together. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 32, the Bible says, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. He took them again, the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." In these three verses, we certainly could preach a gospel message upon the treatment of the Lord Jesus, and how that the things that were to take place, and how that he had warned his disciples. And primarily when we read those verses, we would do that. And the Lord even tells that he would be condemned to death and would be delivered to the Gentiles, and the things that they would do to him. But then we have the verse that says then he would rise again the third day. But I want us to look tonight upon this little phrase, "and they shall mock him." And just primarily the word mock tonight, and what it means and some things about it, and then how that the Lord is going to turn that around to this world in which we live. And so tonight I want us, if you would now, turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll be looking at verses 20 on down through verse number 33 in Proverbs chapter 1. And going to be dealing tonight with what makes God mock a generation. Now in verse Mark chapter 10 and verse 34, the Bible says, "And they shall mock him." And in these verses that we're going to be looking into in Proverbs, it is he doing the mocking upon the world that is before him, Jew and Gentile alike. Some years ago, Dr. R.G. Lee preached a message, Payday Sunday, very popular message. Everybody that has had any dealings with hearing messages from days gone by probably has heard that message or have read it or something, because it became very, very very popular, still is popular and as far as giving it out to people. He preached that message Payday Sunday, where one day there'd be a payment for all things that man do. And tonight we're going to be looking at really what God is going to do to this world that mocked him and this world that rejects him, and how that God will mock a generation that will no longer and does no longer follow the principles of the things of the Word of God. So let's begin reading in verse number 20 of Proverbs chapter 1. We find in Mark they were going to mock him. Now we find in Proverbs it turns around just a little bit. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 20. "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and have none of my reproof." Verse number 26 is our text verse tonight. "I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear cometh." Here the Lord says, "I will laugh at your calamities." And he also says, "I will mock when your fear cometh." Verse 27, "When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they cry unto me, and I will not answer. And they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Our Father, I pray tonight that you would help us as we look into these words and these verses found in this book of Proverbs, where God is telling us about wisdom and telling us that if we desire wisdom, let that person ask of God. Dear Lord, tonight I pray that you'd help us to understand that there is a day coming and there is a reason for that day that is approaching upon this world when God shall set this world in derision. God will mock and God will laugh and God will scorn because of their ungodly deeds and unjust dealings that men have dealt with man and against God. Our Father, I pray tonight that you would help us to look into these words. Help us to know truth and help us to reveal those things which you have given in our heart and in your word. And we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. What makes God mock a generation? A generation that stands in its haughtiness and a generation that stands with all the pride and all the things that has brought that people up to supposedly to have wisdom or to have knowledge. What would make God mock that generation and God to laugh at that particular time? The Bible tells us on many occasions that God will laugh. And this is a laugh that is not a joking laugh. It is a laugh of scorn. It's a laugh of mocking. It's a laugh of destruction. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 2 and verse number 4, "He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision." He that setteth in the heavens, he's going to laugh at what he sees upon this earth that we think are so many wonderful things and so many things that come upon us and we believe that's all okay and doesn't matter what God thinks. The Bible says he that sits in the heavens, he's going to laugh at that generation. Psalm number 37 and verse number 13, "The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day is coming." There's going to be one that laughs last, and of course that is the Lord of glory. Psalm 59 in verse 8 says, "But thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision." The word derision, confusion, the heathen are going to be there. And God's going to be laughing at them because they think everything is so well and everything is so good. And all of a sudden they realize that it's not in accordance to the plan of God. And then our text verse tonight in Proverbs 1:26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock them when your fear cometh. These words here tonight that we've read in Proverbs and Psalms and other places in the Scripture, these are certainly not laughs that are joyful laughs. These are laughs of derision and laughs of mocking and scourging upon a people that have rejected the Lord of heaven. As they rejected Jesus Christ and mocked Him, one day He is going to turn and put His mockings upon a world that has rejected. The right kind of laughter is good. The Scripture tells us that a merry heart doth good like a medicine. But this is not the kind of laughter that God is dealing with here in these verses. This is not what God is talking about when the Bible says that the Lord shall laugh at them. He sees the sin of the world and His heart is broken, but yet when He looks upon the heart of man and sees how he's so far removed from reality and removed from wisdom, God's going to just seemingly, we can picture it in our head, God's going to shake His head and laugh, a mocking laugh at a world that has turned their back upon Him, and He brings judgment upon them. One day He will laugh, but it'll not be a joyful laugh, it will be one of mocking. What will make God laugh? What makes God laugh at a generation? What would make God laugh at us tonight? Well, the Scripture says here in verse number 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Here we find that the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's just the beginning of knowledge. But a fool will despise wisdom. It'll despise instruction. It despises knowledge. And this whole chapter here in Proverbs chapter 1 deals with the subject of wisdom. The verse that we read at the very beginning, verse number 20, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. And wisdom says, how long are you going to stay in your simple ways? Wisdom says, how long is it going to take for you to learn or for you to mature or for you to grow or to get a knowledge of God? How long is it going to take? And so wisdom is crying out all of these things. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Here we find the Scripture tells us, it says, turn at my reproof. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Wisdom says, I will give you knowledge. I will give you instruction. I will give you understanding, but you will not do that. Now in verses 24 on down through verse number 33, with verse 31, we find here how and why God will mock a generation. Why God will mock a people. Why God will bring them into derision. Why God will scorn them and mock them, as He's spoken of in these verses. Now verse number 24, first of all, I believe God will mock a generation and will mock a people because they refuse His call. Verse number 24 of our text, and we're going to be reading these verses and primarily just stating and restating what is said here. Verse number 24 says, because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. God will look at a generation of people for refusing the Word of God and refusing the work of God in their life and in their heart. And one day God says, I gave you all that I could give you. I've done all that I can do, but you refused it. You rejected it. And God's going to mock that generation because they have turned their back upon a living and true God. And I believe our generation is going to be laughed at by God. I believe our generation is will be under the judgment of God, if not already under that judgment, because He has offered Himself. He has stretched out His hand. He has done all the things that would be possible for us to have all the blessings of heaven, and yet we refuse, and our generation of people have turned their back upon God. Wisdom crieth out in the streets and uttereth her voice, and she says, how long are you going to love simplicity? How long are you going to delight in scorning? How long is fools going to hate knowledge? And God says, I have called and you have refused. There ever was a time in America that God has called out to people, it's in this generation in which we live. God has given us more abilities. God has given us more things. God has made it easier to get the gospel out than any other generation, and we're probably doing less with it than any people before us. And God says, I have stretched out my hand, I have looked to you, and no man regarded. God said, I've called, but you have not answered. How many people have heard the gospel in our country, and yet they reject it, they turn their back, and they say no to God. And one day God's going to say, I called you, but you refused. I called your name, and I gave you instruction, and I tried to give you understanding, and I gave you all these things, and you refused at that. And God, the Bible, He says, by our refusing His call, one day God will mock us, and God will turn His back upon us, and no longer giving grace to us, but now under the judgment of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 50, and verse number 2 says, wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to yet deliver? Here we find God says, I called, but you would not answer. Is my hand shortened? That I cannot reach. I'm glad God's hand can reach the lowest of sinner, but that man has to respond. That person has to give in to the Lord and has to call upon the Lord. And God says, when you refuse, then one day there's going to be the judgment that falls upon the lives of individuals and people that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what will make God laugh or mock a generation of people? By their refusing His call. If there ever was a nation that had the call of God upon it, it has been America. America has been blessed of God. America has been dealt the wonderful, bountiful blessings of the Lord, but yet we have refused Him and we've rejected Him in our streets and in our colleges and in our country. So one day God's going to bring about judgment because of that rejection or that refusing. Notice verse 24 also. He says, because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. So first of all, God has been refused. Now the Bible says here that no man regards. No man considers that outstretched hand of the Lord. He says there in Isaiah 50, where we read a while ago, is his hand shortened? Isn't God's hand just as strong as it was in days gone by? I hear people talk about days of yesterday, and I hear people talk about how God blessed in days gone by, and you can read about the great revivals across our country, and you can read about the Welsh revival and other places and islands of the world that's had a great moving of God. But it seems as though today, as a whole, people are not regarding the things of the Lord. It does not even come into their attention. It does not even enter into their mind. What would God think? We have so belittled the Word of God, and we have so betrayed the message of God that now we have a generation that does not know the Word of God. They do not know what God says, and they don't have any understanding. And so therefore, because we regard it not as a generation, God said, I have stretched my hand, and you would not even regard what I was offering and giving to you. He says, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? God says, is there no power that I can deliver now? God hasn't changed. There's not one iota, there's not one thing with God that has changed down through the ages of time. And so the change has come about from our side. A nation, a country that once was blessed of the Lord, I'm afraid in a few days that we are going to see the curse of God. I believe we're already living under the curse of God. I don't believe it's going to start. I believe we're experiencing some of it now because we have no longer regarded the Lord. We have no longer regarded what He said, and so we've refused Him. And the only thing left is judgment. And God will set in the heavens, the Scripture says, and He's going to laugh at our derision. The Bible says also in Isaiah 50:2, behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the seas. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and drieth for thirst. God said, I can do anything I choose to do. And it's simply because we will not regard His outstretched hand. Won't even consider. Now, I'm not talking about churches like our church. I'm not talking about people that love God. No, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about a generation. Now, a generation is a group of people that live in a particular time, and they live in that time for that purpose. And I believe our generation is by all means under this refusing and not regarding what God has offered. I believe we see that on every hand. I believe we see that on every corner. We see it even in some churches that do not even regard the things of the Lord. And so God says there's a generation. They're going to think they're wise in their own eyes. They're going to think they're good, but they're a generation that's going to go down to utter destruction. How does that happen? Why does it happen? I believe the outline is right here before us in these verses. By refusing His call, in verse 24, by not regarding His outstretched hand, in verse number 24, and then in verse number 25. But you have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Look at verse number 30. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Here we find the reason that God will mock a generation is because they will not respond unto His counsel. Now, we know what counsel is. It's somebody that tries to help us. People pay a lot of dollars. This country pays multitudes of millions and billions of dollars to go to a counselor to hear what they have to say to them that might help them in their daily affairs. But God says, you won't regard my counsel. You don't look at it. You don't listen to that. And so by not responding to his counsel, we find that they have despised his reproof. And of course, we know what reproof is. It's correction. For the Word of God tells us in the Bible that we preach the Word and it's for good, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so we find that this book that we have before us, this Bible that we believe is the Word of God, this Bible corrects us and reproves us. And the Lord says, when I gave my counsel, you did not accept it. He says there in verse number 25, and would none of my reproof. You would not take my counsel, and then when I reproved you, you rejected it. See, God has many ways of dealing with the people. He deals with us by preaching the Word of God. He deals with us, especially as a believer, by the Holy Spirit correcting us. He deals with us by the Word of God. And if we will reject all those counsels and all those things, then the only thing left is the judgment of the Lord. A believer, when he will no longer accept the reproof of the Lord, he is on grounds, or she is on grounds of, and in a place where that God could just take her and set her over here on shelf, or set him over here on shelf. Paul said, I fear that lest when I preach to others, I myself will be a castaway. Now, Paul wasn't talking about losing his salvation. Paul was talking about losing his service. He was talking about no longer being able to be used of God because of sin in his life. He said, I wouldn't want that to happen, me to preach to others and then be set over here on the shelf and watch from the sidelines. Now, the Bible also tells us that when a believer does not take the counsel of the Lord and does not take the reproof and the correction of God, that if he puts him on the sideline and he doesn't take that reproof, then there is Scripture that tell us that we can cross that line and God takes us home to glory. Here the Lord talks to a generation of people, and He talks through the words of wisdom. And God says, you will not respond to my counsel. I've always thought it strange, and I'm guilty of it, I guess, as anybody. But isn't it a strange thing that we get sick, we go to the doctor, we get the medicine, and then we don't take it? We might as well not go to the doctor. We find the diagnosis of what's wrong, and we go to the drugstore, we get the medicine, and then we just haphazardly take our medicine. The medicine that we know will help us, but we just forget it, or we don't want to do it, and I don't like to do that, and I'm as guilty as anybody. But isn't it a strange thing that we'll go to get counsel, or we'll get diagnosis or prognosis, and then we'll pay him to tell us what's wrong, and we'll pay the druggist to give us the pills, and we'll go set them on the table, and we think we feel better. Haven't taken a pill, but we feel better, so I don't guess I need those. Why did we go? No, we go to the doctor, and if we're sick enough, we're going to take what he gives us if we believe him, and he'll give us the medication, and we'll take it, and we'll take the counsel. Now, don't do this, and don't do that. Don't go out and act this way, and don't go get in the weather, and keep yourself in. Your immune system is low, and you can get sick, and you can have a real problem. So what he's doing, he's counseling us. Well, I know he said that, but I've got to do this. I talked to Brother Sisson yesterday, and he said, well, the doctor said I just can't do this, and I can't do that. He said, but I really hate to do what they say. We're all guilty. But on the spiritual flip side of that, God has given us His Word and tells us what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. And He gives us the medication. He gives us the instruction. He gives us all the things that's needed. And we take it and we, Sunday night, we go lay it on the table. And we lay it there and we pick it up next Sunday morning. And we haven't done His counsel. And He goes on. Not only have we said it and not his counsel, but we won't even take his correction. We won't even take the medication. We won't even take what God tells us to do to be better. But when a generation does that, when a people, when a group does that, then God will laugh at their derision. For if a person long enough will not take his medication, and if a person long enough will not do what the doctor says, somewhere down the line, what the doctor says will happen. Now, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. Well, it's not happening now, so I'll live for tomorrow. But somewhere down the line, it catches us. Spiritually, somewhere down the line, it's going to catch our generation. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh at our derision. Why are we in derision? Because we have refused his call. Why are we in trouble? Because we do not regard his outstretched hand that said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Why are we in problems? Why are we having trouble? Because we do not take his counsel. We will not respond to it, and we will reject those reproofs that he gives us. There's other reasons. Verse number 28. When they shall call upon me, or then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. One of the problems of our generation, we may remember to pray, but it may be remembering too late. Here in this verse, verse number 28, God says, they shall call on me, but I'm not going to hear. Somebody said, "Well, I thought God always heard our prayer." Oh, he knows what we're praying, but that does not mean he's going to respond to us. And God says, they shall call, but I will not answer. They're going to cry unto me, and I will have a deafened ear unto them. They shall seek me early, but they're not going to find me. Why? Because they have no longer done these other things. They've not regarded him, and they've not responded to him, and they have refused him. And so when they remember and things are getting such a bad shape, well, I guess we better pray. God says, I'm far from hearing them. I'm far from listening to them. They may seek me early and they may seek me till it's late, but I'm not going to be found. When they call, I will not answer. The Bible teaches us all through the Scripture that there comes a time when God does not answer. How and why would God laugh at a generation or mock a generation? Because they remembered too late to pray. Busy with all their things. Busy with all their activities. Busy. And just forget to pray. Everything's going well. Then all of a sudden, problems arise. Everything goes pretty good. Then all of a sudden, things begin to break. And things don't work right. And society begins to crumble. I don't know how you feel, but I think we are seeing the crumbling of our society. The destruction before our very eyes. We may, as a nation, call upon him, but it may be too late. Verse number 29 says, "For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Here we find they have rejected his knowledge. Rejected the knowledge that comes from the book of God. The Word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Verse 7. The fear of God is the beginning of understanding, of knowledge and wisdom and all those things that are intricately designed to work together to help us to get through this life and help us to get through this world and help us to get to heaven. But when you reject it, then there's no hope. When you reject it, then things are over, things are done. So a generation that rejects the knowledge of God. Back in, I believe it was 1963, we rejected the Word of God as a country. Now, if you will take your own time and study, if you will mark that day in 1963 When we said we no longer want the Word of God in our public institutions, you just carry the history down from that day to this day and see what has happened. There's a number of things that we can go back to, and I don't have time tonight. I don't have my notes here in front of me for that. But you can go back to that date, and boy, things begin to fall. After that, we decided that life wasn't too important. Well, you get rid of the Bible. Who's man? What's man? You get rid of the Word of God, and it's of no effect upon you, then certainly life is nothing more than the beast of the field. And so we began that downward spiral, and buddy, the snowball is rolling, and it's collecting as it goes, and it's going faster and faster and faster, and she's just about to break. Why is that? Because we rejected His knowledge as a nation. I remember the outcry in 1963. I was 12 years old. I remember the outcry all across the country. Oh, they could never legalize abortion in 67. Oh, that would never happen. And then when it happened, well, they certainly would never make it where that folks that were older and folks that were no longer useful would no longer be able to live. And buddy, I've seen her change. And you have too. Why? Because one day we rejected God. And any generation, any people that rejects God, you can just put it down. One day God's going to laugh at their derision. Because when you get God out of the picture and it's left up to man, we see where we are now. We see what condition our world is in now. We said we don't want God. We don't need God. We don't desire God. Pretty soon after that, we put in our public education system the theory of evolution. And by the way, it's a theory. And let me put another adjective to it. It's a godless theory. And so, we don't have the God of the Bible anymore because we've done away with that. Human life is not important because we just come up out of the sea as nothing anyway. We've evolved to where we are now. Look how good we are. Buddy, we've done a good thing, haven't we? So we have rejected His knowledge. And the only thing that is left is catastrophe. I believe it'll culminate in the coming of the Lord. I believe one of the great problems of our country today is this teaching of evolution and doing away with God. If you ever have a chance to read the book by Ken Ham, Already Gone, you ought to read it. It talks about our young people, how their minds have been snatched and their spirituality has been taken away and their hope has been destroyed because of this thought of evolution. You cannot pick up a kindergarten book in public education that does not start out with millions of years ago or billions of years ago, and it's always changing, and they're given that thought process all through their education. Then there's no wonder when they get to college, they run around like a bunch of monkeys. Why wouldn't they? We have rejected the knowledge of God. Verse 31. We'll get to stay here all night if we're not careful. Verse 31. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. They're going to eat their own fruit. So they have removed themselves from the table of God. They have removed themselves from the table of blessings. And they're going to eat the fruit of their own ways. I believe we're doing that right now. Boy, some of the fruit has a lot of big seed in it. Some of the fruit's very bitter. Some of the things that we're taking in now, some of the things that we are seeing come upon our country and upon our world, it's not just a country now, it's the entire world. Many of those things are a result of removing ourselves from His table of blessing, and we're just eating our own things and doing our own thing, and we're going to live until we die, and when it's over, we'll just say goodbye. It's not that way. But the Lord says, they shall eat of their own way. They be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Boy, verse 32 puts everybody in their place. This crowd that has refused God's call, they will not regard the outstretched hand of God. They will not respond to His counsel. They will not pray. They reject His knowledge. They remove themselves from His table. God says, for the turning away of the simple. Oh, but they think they're wise. They think they're smart. Well, they've got PhDs behind their names. Now, don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with having a PhD. But it is wrong if you reject God. Learning and education outside of God is wrong and no good. And all of a sudden, these folks that think they're so smart, God says they're simple. And the ways of the simple are going to destroy them. Now, the prosperity. Oh, we're very prosperous. We can do what we want to do. God says it's the prosperity of fools. What does God say? The fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. The prosperity of fools, as the Bible says here, is going to destroy them. Now, I happen to believe this book. And God says those that have rejected all the things of God, they're nothing but simple fools. Foolish in their ways and their ideas. Oh, but thank God there is a remedy. God never gives you these things until He gives you a remedy. It's in the last verse, verse 33. But whosoever, or whoso, New Testament puts the word whosoever. Aren't you glad for that? Verse 33 says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. What a blessing. Those that will hearken to the Word of God in the midst of confusion, calamity, destruction. God says we're going to dwell safely. I believe God's going to take care of His own. I believe He'll supply. I believe He'll help. I believe He'll give. And whoever hearkens to the Lord shall dwell safely. And then it says here, shall be quiet from the fear of evil. The word quiet there means to be settled. Well, I'm glad I don't have to wring my hands. I'm glad I don't have to worry and wonder. If I live like some people, my, I'd be worried to go to bed every night. Because we live in a world that has rejected God. And God said, because of that, you mock me one day, but there's a payday someday. You mocked me and you put me on the cross and you spit upon me and you beat me and you whipped me and you destroyed my body and you killed me. That's all right. God says, when you come into derision, I'm going to mock you. But whoever will hearken, oh, I'm glad, thank God for the grace of God. Whosoever shall hearken, the Bible in the New Testament says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means we hearken unto what is said. That means He gives to us eternal life. And we can have the quietness from the fear of evil. We don't have to sit over there and wonder what's going to take place and worry. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow because we have a God in heaven. And He helps us and He delivers us. And we are His. There is a payday that comes. All that generation that despised the Lord, that generation that killed Jesus Christ, hung Him on the cross of Calvary, that generation died without God, most of them. Generation after generation after generation of those Jewish people have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, let His blood be on our hands and the hands of our children, our children's children. And it's been there. But there's a day coming when they shall see Him whom they pierced. And they'll look upon Him. America has had a great history. If you read some of the modern day history books, you wouldn't think it. But America has had a great history. And everything we've had in our country has been a direct result of the Judeo-Christian ethics and way of life and belief that all comes from this book right here. And now we're all of a sudden we're smarter than that, and we don't need it. And in just a few years, we are seeing the disintegration of, I believe, the greatest country that's ever been upon the face of this earth. And the only hope we have is to hear the sound of the trumpet. We know our hope is not in politics. We know it's not in the elected officials. They do not listen. They know better for us than we know. I think you ought to vote the whole crowd out and start over. All of them. The hope is not in that. The hope is not in the security of our jobs, because we don't have any security of jobs. I can remember when a person got a job in a factory or somewhere, he was pretty well set until he retired. And now, most people before age 35 have already worked 5 different jobs. No security in politics, no security in job market. There's no security in what we see around us because it changes daily. But I'm glad tonight I have security in the Lord. I'm glad He's my helper. I'm glad He's the one that watches over me. And because I have regarded Him, because I have looked to Him, because as that last verse tells us there in verse number 33, because we've hearkened unto Him, we can dwell safely. We can have the joy of the Lord when the whole world is crumbling around us. We can have joy in Jesus Christ. I believe these Old Testament saints that had problems, they looked up. Stephen, as he was being beaten, he looked up and saw the Lord standing, waiting to receive him into glory. I believe he had joy in the midst of a generation. I believe the Apostle John had joy as he was there on the Isle of Patmos because of the Word of God, and because of his testimony. Why? Because they had hearkened unto the Lord. I believe some of these old saints of God that we have in our history, in the history of the church and the early believers, I believe they had joy when they were standing at the guillotine and being ready for their head to be cut off because of their testimony. I believe they had joy. They had peace. They had quietness in time of evil. How can that be? To know Him. That's the only way we ever have peace. May God help us tonight to realize our generation may be suffering, but I don't have to. My generation may be faltering and failing and rejecting and doing all the things that we see, but I don't have to do that. I'm a free, I'm a moral, I'm a person, I'm an individual, but I can believe God. And God's promised to help me. And my God's big enough, He knows exactly where I am. He knows my need, and He knows how to handle it. So why should we worry or fret? Why should we care? Because He has control of it all. Let's stand together tonight.